Turn to the book of Genesis and to chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, and I want to begin reading at verse 33, not as printed, but at verse 33. Genesis chapter 27, at verse 33, let us hear the word of God. Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives your servants. I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your blessing will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I will send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living." So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's father Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land the Lord gave Abraham." Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Paddan Aram to take a wife from there, and that he had blessed him, and that when he blessed him, he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman." And Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and gone to Paddan Aram. Esau then realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father Isaac. So he went to Ishmael and married Mahalath, the sister of Nebaioth, the daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives he already had. Amen, and may God bless his word to us this morning. I purposely read in from verse 33 of chapter 27 this morning for our fourth and our final study in the life of Isaac, because it seems to me that this section, this morning's section, relates so closely to and follows on from last week's section. And so for those who weren't here last week, let me take a few minutes to recap. And maybe for our house groups this week, we could maybe concentrate on last week's and this week's passages. Indeed, maybe the whole of the life of Isaac. So that gives you lots of scope. Isaac, remember, was brought up to believe in the Lord. He was the long-awaited son of Abraham and Sarah, the fulfillment of the Lord's promise to Abraham to make him a great nation. As a teenager, remember, he experienced firsthand his father's faith when his father was about to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah at the Lord's command. What an impression that must have made on this young fellow, Isaac, to realize that his father was so committed to the Lord that he would give up the most precious thing in the world at the Lord's command. And to see how at just the right moment the Lord provided a substitute. When he was 40, Isaac married Rebekah from Abraham's family back in Paddan Aram. So here's a man to whom we can relate. Many of us have been brought up in Christian homes. We've been taught the Bible. We've seen the faith of our parents or grandparents. And we've married a wife, a husband, who shares the same faith. Apparently not long after their marriage, there was a famine in the land of Canaan, and Isaac and Rebekah went off to the land of the Philistines to find food. In other words, they began making their own solutions to their problems, and they left the Lord out of the reckoning. Maybe like many of us, in the early days of marriage, when financial pressures begin to bite. The amazing thing was, the Lord didn't abandon them. Not by any means. Not only did he keep them safe, he made sure they prospered materially. They became very wealthy. And we saw how Isaac slowly began to see sense. Apparently about this time, it seems Abraham died. That might have had quite an impact on Isaac. And he begins to move slowly away from the Philistines in more ways than one. And then there came a day when Isaac returned to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him. He built an altar. He called on the name of the Lord. He was back to where he should be. And even the king of the Philistines came and admitted that the Lord was blessing him. And again, many of us can identify with that sort of pattern in our lives. Brought up in Christian homes, married to someone who shares our faith, yet we drift off when difficulties arise, don't we? We don't come to church just so regularly. And amazingly, the Lord continues to bless us. And then something happens, maybe the death of a parent, and we begin to rethink our spiritual position. We begin to try to be different, to try to live for the Lord. And ever so slowly, we begin to move away from those friends and neighbors. And then there comes a day when we take that decisive step and we come home. Maybe through a church covenant service. Maybe through coming to Christianity Explored. The Lord speaks to us. And we set up our altar. And we call on the name of the Lord. We determine to live for him. Now, Isaac's story doesn't end there, does it? And that's where we started last week. Isaac had come home. He'd built his altar. He was calling on the name of the Lord. He was witnessing to outsiders, like the king of the Philistines. Surely here was an example of someone who was a believer in the Lord. But whilst all might have appeared well on the outside, all was not well on the inside of Isaac's own life or his home. Isaac was determined to have his own way with regard to Esau getting the blessing. And that despite the Lord saying that the older would serve the younger, that Jacob would get the blessing, despite his wife wanting Jacob to get the blessing, and despite Esau over these years not listening to his father and showing his disregard for the Lord, still Isaac was determined Esau would get the blessing. See, it's possible for a believer to have a name for being a believer and yet to have an area of your life where you're insisting on your own way. Isaac was determined. He was so determined that secretly, he thought secretly, he set it up for Esau to be blessed after he'd served him with some of his favorite game stew. Well, we saw last week how Rebekah had been listening at the door, and as soon as Esau had gone off, she organized Jacob. He would get her a couple of goats from which she'd make some tasty stew. She'd dress up Jacob as Esau. And we saw how Jacob lied and lied and deceived his father into giving him the blessing. The interesting thing was, the Lord allowed all Rebekah's scheming and Jacob's lying. And we noted regarding Isaac how, and this is where we started today, how he trembled violently when he discovered he'd given the blessing to Jacob. He, we said, was devastated. You see what had happened? The Lord had the last word, didn't he? And if Isaac, after all these years, would not listen, then the Lord had to make him listen. The Lord had to break him. And the really amazing thing is this. The Lord broke Isaac in order to remake Isaac. And we ended last week saying that whilst Isaac was determined to have his own way, whilst he was devastated by what happened, he was delivered by the Lord. How do we know that? We know that he was delivered because of what he says to Isaac in to Esau in verse 33. I blessed him, Jacob, and indeed he will be blessed. It seems that in those seconds, Isaac realized what a mess he'd made of things. He realized it wasn't just Jacob who'd tricked him. He realized this was the Lord's doing, and he accepted it. He made no attempt to change things. And we know that Isaac was delivered because of what the New Testament says. Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of the heroes of the faith, says, By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. The Lord had allowed Isaac to be broken in order to remake him. He became a changed man, a new man. And it seems to me, as I've read and reread these verses for this morning, that's what this passage is about. It's about this change in Isaac, this transformation in Isaac. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Note first of all, the evidence of that change in Isaac. The evidence. First evidence we see here in the way that he deals with Esau. You see, Esau, on hearing what had happened, burst out with a loud and bitter cry. Verse 34, bless me! Me too, my father! Verse 36, haven't you reserved a blessing for me? Verse 38, do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too! He's angry. with his brother. Naturally, he wants this blessing, this abundance of possessions, and he wants to lord it over the others. But notice Isaac. All these years he'd been determined that Esau would get that blessing. But now, there's no thought of changing what he's done. All he can do is give his son a very inferior blessing. Verse 39, they're about succeeding in the life of a hunter in the wild. Your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of heaven. You'll live by the sword, and so on. No mention of life, no mention of the blessing of God. Isaac had accepted what the Lord had done. That's a change, isn't it? Second piece of evidence that Isaac had changed is seen in the way he deals with Rebekah. You see, before this, he wouldn't listen to Rebekah, especially if she was talking about Jacob. Now, in verse 46, when she speaks about her concern that Jacob would marry a Hittite woman, as Esau had done, what does Isaac do? He calls for Jacob and he sends him off to Rebekah's homeland to find a wife. Now, Rebekah was pretty wise in not suggesting that's what he did. But Isaac is a changed man, isn't he? He's now prepared to listen to and act upon the comments of his wife. That's a change, isn't it? The most conclusive evidence of a change in Isaac is seen, I think, in the way he deals with Jacob. Not only does he send him off to Paddan Aram to find a wife, he also, notice, sends him off with his blessing. Did you notice that? And this time, the blessing is far more spiritual than previously. Did you notice that? Before, may God give you heaven's dew and the earth's riches and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. A very sort of formal family blessing about God being good to them in material ways. Which, of course, were all going to come true. Now notice the blessing. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful, increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, the land God gave to Abraham. You see, it's much more like the covenant blessing of Abraham. That name, God Almighty, was first heard in chapter 17, verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, remember? And when, after 13 years of silence, the Lord came to Abraham and renewed his covenant with him. It's definitely the covenant name for God at that time. And by using it here, Isaac's emphasizing that Jacob is also in the covenant, God's covenant. Look what he prays, that the covenant God would himself bless him, make him fruitful, increase his numbers, listen, until you become a community of peoples. Now that's interesting, that's a new phrase, a community of peoples. Not just a great number, a multitude, but a community. The idea of coherence and not just numbers. It's very interesting that word community comes from the same word as church. The church in the Old Testament makes its first appearance as a promise not to Abraham, but to Jacob through the lips of Isaac. And Isaac goes on praying for the blessing of Abraham on Jacob and his descendants so that they would possess the land, the great covenant blessing of the day. Now, do you see the change in Isaac. He's more concerned about the covenant now than material prosperity. More concerned about people and land than about lording it over others. He's more ready now to speak about Abraham and Abraham's God. So there's clear evidence that Isaac is a changed man. Notice secondly, the impact of that change in Isaac on others. The impact of that change, first of all, on Esau. Esau's first reaction is understandable, I suppose. Read, he held a grudge against Jacob and planned to kill him. But notice this, he wasn't going to do it until his father had died. He didn't want to upset the old boy. That's interesting, isn't it? Before he'd married those two Hittite women, remember, knowing full well that it would upset his father. But he did it. Now he doesn't want to upset him. The change in his father didn't turn him against the old man, as we might expect. It made him respect him. And then look at the end of our section today, verse 6 of chapter 28. Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob, sent him off to find a wife instead of marrying one of the Canaanite women, and that Jacob had obeyed. Then we read, Esau realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father Isaac. And knowing Esau, we'd expect him to go, wouldn't we, and deliberately marry two or three of these Canaanite women. Ah, but no, he doesn't. He goes and marries one of Ishmael's daughters. One of Abraham's great-granddaughters. In other words, he marries one of the family. Oh no, okay, it was the wrong line of the family, and Ishmael, remember, had to leave. But he married in the family, not one of the pagan neighbors. I don't know why he did that. It's very superficial, like everything else that Esau seemed to do. But could it indicate that he'd realized how foolish he'd been? Could it indicate that he did care about his father and was trying to please him? The point I'm making is that the change in Isaac had an impact on Esau. I'm not saying he was converted, I'm not saying anything like that, but he was made to think about where he stood and what he was doing. The change in Isaac also had an impact on Rebecca, didn't it? See, now she's able to talk to Isaac about her concerns about Jacob and his wife. Before, she just had planned it all out and sent him off on her own, wouldn't she? I'm sure that she realized that what she'd done wasn't right, and it had caused much upset to her husband. But surely she also saw how the Lord had intervened and how Isaac had accepted it and been changed by it. And I'm sure that the change in Isaac made a lasting impact on Rebecca. And the change in Isaac also made an impact on Jacob. We need to read on the rest of Genesis, or maybe do a series in the life of Jacob, which we're not doing, to grasp that. But I'm sure that Jacob never forgot not just how he got the blessing, but never forgot the change in his father and how his father brought him in to the covenant. And that phrase, a community of peoples. In the acute loneliness of the coming days, in Paddan Aram. Wouldn't Jacob be assured that he was far from isolated? The Almighty was with him. And one day he'd become a community of peoples. In fact, in the next few verses, just from where we read, he's on his way to Paddan Aram and he stays the night for a sleep. And he dreams of this stairway reaching to heaven, angels ascending and descending upon it. And there above it, the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abram, and the God of Isaac. I'm sure the change in Isaac made such an impact on Jacob. Well, we've seen the evidence of a change in Isaac. We've seen the impact of that change in Isaac on others. I want to conclude, really, this whole series by thinking about the challenge of that change in Isaac to ourselves. You see, it seems to me, from my reading of the Bible, that being a follower of the Lord, being a Christian today, involves a radical change in our lives, not unlike that change in Isaac's life. I'm not saying the Lord will devastate us like he devastated Isaac, although if we persist in wanting our own way in something, he might well have to devastate us. But what I am saying is that for all of us, there'll be a radical change in our lives. You see, it's not enough to know about the Lord, or even have the Lord speak to us, or worship the Lord, or have a name for being blessed by the Lord. Isaac had all these things. It's rather a matter of having the Lord at the very center of our lives, having him as our Lord and Master. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now that's where the challenge comes to us, to me anyway, from these verses in the life of Isaac. Is my life any different from the good people around us? Has my life been changed radically? You see, we can come to church, we can do all these religious things, we can read our Bible, we can pray, we can appear to be pillars of the kirk. But have our lives been changed? Is there evidence of that change in our lives? Especially, as in the case of Isaac, especially in our lives at home or with those we are closest to. In the way we deal with those who used to be our favorite friends. Are we prepared to be firm with them now? Not give in to their demands? Even when they plead with us? In the way we deal with our wife or husband? Are we ready now to listen to them, to take their advice? Reckoning, well, they might be right after all. In the way we deal with our children, are we willing to talk to them about the Lord? Pray with them and for them? Seek the Lord's blessing on their lives? Is it evident at home? that we're Christians. That's the challenge to me. And is that changed life having an impact on others? Again, especially those nearest to us. Do those old friends respect you for your firm stand? Does your wife, your husband, feel free to come and talk to you about things that's bothering them? Do your children have things worth remembering in the things you've said to them or done with them? Is our life having an impact on others? That's a challenge, isn't it? And it's a challenge not just to Scott and Nock as they return to Thailand. It's a challenge to all of us. As we go home this afternoon, as we go to work tomorrow, are our lives different, radically different from the other good, religious even people around us? The really striking thing here is that Isaac was an old man. Yeah, even older than Ian Murray. He was an old, old man. You've probably heard it said, well, Bob, you can't expect old people to change. Well, maybe you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But we're not talking about teaching dogs tricks, are we? We're talking about God doing a transforming work of His grace in our lives. And I tell you, that can happen at any age, even old age. Has your life, has my life been changed? What I'm asking is, are we really Christians? Are we really Christ's sons? That's the challenge that comes to me from the life of Isaac. Maybe that's why he's the forgotten patriarch. Because we don't want to think about these things, is it? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for all we've learnt from Isaac. Thank you for the radical change in his life when he was prepared to die to self and to live for you. Help us, Lord, to see that you want us to change, and indeed you're able to change us as we put Jesus first, Lord of our lives. Help us to think much of these things and to follow Christ wholeheartedly. In Jesus we pray. Amen.